Our next guest, though, spent decades in federal law enforcement, including in the Secret Service and as a federal air marshal, wrote a book called Secrets of the Secret Service. Gary Byrne is on our KTSA Window World Newsmaker line. And Mr. Byrne, thank you for coming on with us. I know it's a busy day for you, so I appreciate it.
My pleasure. How are you?
Good, thank you. What's going through your mind right now as you're hearing these bits and pieces of this story?
Well, you know, I've kind of heard it and saw it all before when I was still in the Secret Service, and even before that when I was in the Air Force. It's clearly kind of a coordinated effort. This is somebody who's knows a little bit about what they're doing. You know, right now they're saying that Mr. Soros got one, Bill and Hillary Clinton, the Obamas, possibly Debbie Wasserman Schultz. So they're clearly, you know, whoever's sending these packages, and we're assuming right now it's one person. You know, the FBI and the Secret Service are working this together. Once the devices are detected and they're made inert, the FBI takes them and takes them apart with the ATF, and they'll do a forensics. Once they're made safe, they'll do a forensics breakdown. And they have a huge storehouse of information on people that have been caught making bombs that goes way back through history. And one of the things I talk about in my book, Secrets of the Secret Service, is during FDR's time, they actually, when people would mail food to FDR, they would test it to see if it was poison food. Not that they were ever going to eat it, but before they threw the food out, they wanted to see if somebody was trying to poison the president. So they would feed the food to monkeys. And if they got sick, well, then they knew it was poison. And they started looking for explosive devices at a remote site besides the White House during the Second World War for FDR, because there were so many issues.
Right. I wonder, you know, we went through here in Texas the Austin bomber, the guy that was leaving packages for weeks and ultimately killed two people, injured several people, killed himself. It took quite a long time to find him, and he was not somebody that had ever done anything like this before. So what's the difference between somebody who maybe would be on the radar and somebody who just kind of came out of the blue or was just suddenly inspired to do this?
Right. That's a good question. And really, what you're describing there is you're describing somebody, you know, if somebody uses a weapon or a firearm against somebody, there's usually witnesses, you know, or there's forensics left that they're using to. But what we're talking about here is a device that's made, put together, probably tested, and then put together, and then mailed. And then once it leaves that person, you know, it goes through a mail system, whether it was the U.S. mail, FedEx, or whoever, you know, it was planned on being detonated. So now that it's not detonated, there's a lot of forensic evidence that could be discovered, I'm sure. The difference is, to get back to your exact question, the difference is, it really comes down to mental illness and the skill of the person who's doing it. Because regardless of their reasoning, they're mentally ill. I mean, it's just because it's attempted murder by mail doesn't mean it's any less crazy than anything else.
Would it be significant to you if they looked at these devices and found that they were meant to resemble a functional device, but they were not functional?
Yeah, it is. It is. That would be something. A big deal, absolutely. But that does not negate the ideal of charges. Like,
right.
Just because it's an inert device or it's a trick, you still get charged, just like if you walk into a bank with your hand in a paper bag and say, I have a gun, give me money, and they give you money. As far as the law is concerned, you robbed the bank with a gun.
We're talking with former Secret Service agent Gary Byrne on KTSA. You know, the Austin bomber, the Boston Marathon bombers, the brothers, a big piece of what brought them down was surveillance video. You have to think that in all of these locations where these devices were intercepted, there's got to be a lot of surveillance video, plus surveillance video at mailing facilities or post office boxes. So I would think that's going to be a big part of tracing it back to whoever did it, right?
Oh, absolutely right. And the first thing they're going to try to discover is, did it come through the mail in a normal way? However it was transferred, whether it was the U.S. Postal Service or through another shipper, did it come the normal way? Like, or is it possible that somebody, they have help from the inside? I mean, that's a little far-fetched, but not too far-fetched. But once they track it down, how it was sent, if it was mailed from a certain place, a certain business in, let's say, Missouri or wherever in the United States, yeah, it is very likely that they could have somebody on video dropping that package off. And the package, you know, is a certain size. They know exactly what it looks like. If they have video of somebody coming in with a package like that, you're right. It could be a great clue and speed up the detection and prosecution on this.
Gary Byrne, whose book is Secrets of the Secret Service. Always appreciate your time. Hope we can talk to you again.
Anytime. Thank you so much.
Joseph Giacalone is an adjunct professor at John Jay College and was a longtime New York Police Department detective, retired as a detective sergeant. He's on our KTSA Window World Newsmaker line. Professor, thanks for coming on, and good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Jack. How are you?
Good, thank you. You know, it's very interesting that none of these devices, and of course we're all very grateful, none of these devices apparently went off. So that gives whoever is examining them and investigating a lot more to work with, right?
Well, absolutely. It tells us about the MO of the modus operandi of a bomb maker. It could also provide investigative clues such as forensics, and being able to put those pieces together about where they were even bought from. So with that, the investigators, I think, have a lot to go on.
Does it also suggest that maybe we're going to find out these were not actually going to work, that they were meant to resemble a device, but that they were not functional?
Well, we could find that out. They're going to tell us for sure. I know that in New York City, they've already removed one to what we call Frog Neck. It's in the Bronx, and it's where all the bombs are brought, and they will investigate that. And if it is a live device, we will know relatively soon, because they'll have to set it off just to get rid of it. So it's going to be interesting to see what investigators can glean from that device.
One thing we learned with the news conference was that there was some kind of white powder, nonspecific, with the CNN device. And I know that I've heard in the past that sometimes white powder is used because it has to be, you have to presume the worst about it. You have to presume that it could be anthrax or something very dangerous. And when it turns out not to be, it nonetheless has the result of slowing the response and widening the evacuation. So in other words, it magnifies the effect, the terror effect of the device, right?
Well, yes, specifically because some of those weapons, so to speak, can become airborne. So you have to actually evacuate a much larger area than you would have normally just for the bomb itself, because of that ability to be able to be dispersed within the air. And if it was done in combination, so that they put the bomb with the powder, that is even a bigger concern, because now you can spread that airborne, let's just say it is a chemical weapon or a biological weapon, even much further than you would normally. So all of these things will be hopefully answered out in a relatively short period of time.
How big a role will the surveillance world that we now live in, where there's cameras everywhere, everything is covered, how big a role is that going to play? Certainly, you think back to the Austin bomber here in Texas earlier this year. You think about the Boston Marathon bomber. Video was very key in those cases.
Oh, absolutely. I think you hit the nail right on the head. I mean, the person who either put these bombs at these locations or put them in the mail, these are very heavily surveilled locations, and I think that's going to provide the clues that the investigators need. And we might even see it coupled with, let's say, facial recognition software. So we might see a lot of the new technologies come together just to try to solve these cases.
And we know already that because of everything from 9/11 to even going back to the Unabomber in the 90s, political people, prominent targets, mailrooms at major corporations and media outlets, those are already places where there's a lot of security and protocols about handling mail and opening packages. Is there really much more security you can add to places that have already been on guard for a long time?
Well, yeah, not so much really, because of the fact that I believe the Secret Service even intercepted these bombs before they even got to the Clinton residence and the Obama residence. So it apparently seems that the protocols that they have already worked. The issue that comes down to now is identifying those suspects. Unfortunately, we don't want people to speculate on who is responsible. I know a lot of the political talk takes over, but before someone has, so to speak, a egg on their face, I think they should just wait till the facts come out before they start pointing fingers about who is responsible.
Yeah, well, that is very good advice. Professor Joseph Giacalone at John Jay College. Professor, thank you. Always appreciate having you on.
Have a good day.
You as well. It's our KTSA Window World Newsmaker line as we tap some of our experts and talk to some of our people. And phone lines open for you at 210-599-5555. We'll kick this around a little bit as well. We did not do a JR poll question today because of all of this breaking news, but we'll have some more time to talk after we check traffic here next. 1244 now on 550 KTSA and FM 1071.